Hi, Rick Brazza. Welcome back to Creative Coding for Windows 8 using JavaScript and Processing JS. Today we're going to aggregate all the lessons we've done so far and put them together into one bigger project. So we're going to create a simple particle emitter. We're going to use the things we learned about color, about positioning, about velocity, about arrays, and we're going to create an effect so that as you move your mouse or your finger across your device, it'll create this rainbow trail of particles, and then the particles will then burst out into their own random directions. So it sums up everything we've studied so far. So let's jump straight into our project. We look at our starting project template. It should be it's the exact same template we've been working with. We know every processing sketch starts with a setup function, the draw function that is continuously called. We went ahead and added a pointer move handler here. For Windows 8, instead of using mouse, we use the pointer move function, which is an adjustment to our processing JS file so that it can register not only the mouse but also multiple touch points as well as pen. And as with our other sketches, up at the very top we have our width and height properties and our target X and target Y variables. In our pointer move function right now, we're doing a very naive wherever the pointer moves, and remember this offset X means relative to the canvas, because our canvas that we're using for our processing sketch can exist anywhere in the HTML page. So that's why you're not saying that touch point's X position in general. We're saying offset X, which means relative to the canvas space on the page, relative to the canvas, where it is within that sketch. This is the number that we're looking for. So right now it simply says as we move the mouse pointer, it's going to be setting this target X and Y value. We're going to change this to take advantage of easing. But before we do anything else, let's create our particle class that we'll use as our visual element. So I'm going to come down here and I'm going to create a class. Call it particle. Whoops. Don't have the parentheses as we're defining the class. Now, some of the properties we've been using already have been things like an X property, which will be where its position is. Let me give us a little more room so we can all see. We've also talked about its velocity X and its velocity Y, which is basically its speed as it's moving around. We've talked about color, so every particle will be able to have its own RGB values. Right? So right now they would this would all be solid white. But we're also going to introduce alpha or transparency. And when they all start off, they're going to have be fully visible, so their alpha will be set up to 255 as well. We're also going to give them a life count. When we set them on the stage, we're going to give this a number. We're going to say 150. And as they get updated, we're going to slowly be taking away some of their life. So as they get closer to zero, we'll know it's time to start animating, giving them a secondary animation so they move off the stage. So we're starting them off with the ability of having life. We're giving them a life count, but we're setting it at zero for right now. Every particle is going to take care of its own positioning by having its own update call. And every particle is going to take care of its own drawing by having its own render call. Now, we're also going to introduce a little bit of particle management. So for right now, let's just give it a reset function. Now I'm calling it reset. You might have calling it birth or being born, but basically we're going to this is going to be the function when it's time to place it on the stage to start doing its thing. This is going to be the function we're going to tell it to reset itself for the effect on the stage. We're going to come down in here and fill in these functions in a little bit. But now that we've defined the structure of the particle class, let's come up to the top and let's start creating an array of particles so that we can store from. So the first thing we're going to do is have a total particles variable. Then we're going to create a particle array, call it particles. It's a new particle array of total particles. And we're also going to have an int called particle index, which is set to 0. Let's take a moment here and explain what's going on. When I'm creating this array, when I'm creating this box, that holds particles, and I'm creating 100 slots for it. So that's what an array is, right? It's a big collection of a lot of different elements. And we're saying create your box and put 100 different little slots for it. Now we're going to fill up this array with 100 particles. Particle index is basically saying what's the pointer in this array for, basically who's next. So what we're going to do is as we move the mouse, so every time we move the mouse, we're going to grab whoever's next in the array and plop them on the stage, reset them onto the stage. And then we move again, it'll go down to the next person in the line. Every time we move, it'll keep going down the line and pulling somebody in. In this way, and if we have 100 of them, we'll be able to keep drawing again and again and again, but we'll never be putting more than 100 particles on the stage. In fact, it takes a lot of computer memory to be adding things and removing things if we were doing it permanently. So this is a workaround to be more performant this way. We're only going to have 100 abstract particles, but we're going to reset them as we need them on the stage. And we can tweak with some of these numbers, but this way we're creating 100 particles only once, but it's how we move them and position them that'll make it seem as if you're able to create hundreds and hundreds and thousands of particles. But really, that's the big secret. We're only going to be dealing with 100 of these particles. So in order to do that, we're keeping this particle index, which is basically saying who's next in line. And of course, when it gets to the end of the line, we're going to reset it to zero again and then start basically moving it down the line again and again. We'll see this in practice now. So in order to finish that up, let's populate this array with 100 particles, because we've basically defined what we want the box to be, but we haven't set it up. So let's set that up and fill it up with particles here inside of our setup loop. So I'm going to say for int I equals 0, while I is less than total particles, I plus plus. I'm going to say create a particle is equal to new particle. And really, this could have been called anything. We could call it P if we wanted to. And then we're going to shove it into the particles array. We'll say particles I is equal to P. So we're looping through this 100 times, creating a unique particle every time, and then shoving it into that particular box inside of our particles array. So this setup populates 100 particles, creates 100 particle objects, and puts them into this particles array. Hasn't really put them anywhere on the screen because we're not setting any X or Y or any color or anything like that. We're just kind of shoving them into this array for right now. The reason for this is because we're going to add them onto the stage whenever we move our mouse. Before we do, though, let's kind of fix the fact that this is being a very naive way of following the mouse. Remember, we saw that this wasn't very elegant. This was saying wherever I move my mouse, instantly put my target right there. But when we introduced easing, we saw that it added a little bit more elegance. And if you remember what the algorithm was for easing, instead of just setting it to whatever you want to be, if you have a history of something, if you've stored it in a variable, like we've stored this target X and target Y, the algorithm is always where you want to be, in this case offset X, minus where you are, times a percentage. In this case, we'll do 0.2. Same thing with Y. Works with everything. Where you want to be, minus where you are, times a percentage. That powerful algorithm, as we learned in our previous studies, as you move your pointer, the target will now gracefully ease toward the pointer. If you move it quickly, it'll move quickly and slow down. Always move quickly and slow down as it's getting there. So it creates a very graceful, fluid movement as you're moving around your sketch. So we have this target X and target Y, which is gracefully moving to wherever we might be jerkily moving our fingers on the stage. So this target X will be gracefully moving toward it, following it. So besides just following it, though, now we want to be dropping in particles as we move along. So here's where some of the code magic comes in. We're going to create a variable called next particle. Now we're not going to create a new particle here because we already have our collection in the background. So instead of creating a new particle, we're basically going to say, hey, pull out whoever's next in line in our particles array. So we're going to say new particle is equal to basically whoever's in my particles array standing in this position, particle index. So the very first time this will be zero. So let's go ahead and then we'll say once we get it, next particle, particle, I want you to reset yourself at this position, wherever my mouse follow or wherever my pointer follow currently is, plop yourself on the stage there. We're going to fill in this function next. But before we do, let's do some management with our index. We need to adjust particle index, right? We need to basically do something like this. Say, okay, and you say particle index increased by one so that you're now pointing to the next guy in the list because this guy, I've already put him on the stage. So now increase by one to move down the list. But we also need to do some bounds checking, right? Because once you get to 100 or once you get to 99, you're pointing at the last guy. Once you get to 100, there's nobody left anymore. So we basically have to say, if you ever get equal to, if once I add one to you, if you ever get equal to or greater by some miracle, our total particles, go back to zero, and then everything works out fine. So we would say, if by adding one to particle index, we're ever equal to particles.length, and we can do equals, or we can do greater than or equal to particles.length, basically just reset yourself back to zero. This allows our index to always be going down whatever is the proper length of the array. Okay, so at this point we've filled up 100 particles in an array, kind of offstage or logically not important. As we move our particle, we're going to be dropping individual particles wherever we place them on the stage. If we come down here, well, first we need to fill up the reset function so that they actually place them on the stage. So let's come down to reset. We're passing target X and target Y into reset. So let's make sure the reset function can catch those values that we're sending into them. We'll catch them locally and call them locally X and Y. So if it's catching those two things that we've sent in, the first thing we want to make sure is that this particle's X and Y get placed to whatever we passed in. So if we're passing in target X and target Y, that's where we're going to drop this particular particle as we call its reset function. Let's go ahead and give it a brand new velocity. This was another algorithm we talked about. If we wanted to create a range of numbers from negative to positive, right? If I wanted to go from negative 2 to positive 2, then I do this by going to random 4, which would get me from 0 to 4, and then subtracting my desired range, right? Subtracting 2 in this case. So random 4 takes me from 0 to 4. If I subtract at its highest, it'll be 4. At its lowest, it'll be 2. So by subtracting 2 to it, at its lowest, it'll now be negative 2. And at its highest, it'll be positive 2. So this is how we create a positive to negative range of random numbers. Random number, double the range you want, minus the range. Works again for everything. So we've placed its position down on the stage. We've given it a random velocity. At this point, we're also going to say, you have 150 ticks of life. Now on their render functions, when we draw them, for right now, we'll say fill color is equal to this.r, this.g, b, this.a. And we should actually, as we're setting them, set up their RGB values. But let's get it to the screen first before we come in and tweak the colors. Let's make sure it's working at least well with white. When we're going to call render, we're going to fill them up with their default color of white. Every particle will be white for right now. And then we go ahead and draw our ellipse at wherever they happen to be. And then we give them an equal radius so that we can get a circle instead of a egg-shaped ellipse. Okay, so when we mouse move, we're going to call reset. We still need to call render, and we'll call render on every particle inside of the draw loop. Let's come over here to our draw loop. And let's go ahead, just as we've been doing it on our previous exercises, let's go through and iterate through all of the particles while I is equal to 0, while I is less than total particles, I plus plus. And we basically say particles, from the particles array, whoever happens to be at I, update yourself, and then render yourself. Now, I don't think we're really doing anything yet on update, which we don't have to. Let's just see if what we've done so far, whenever we move the pointer, does it plop down a particle? Does it reset a particle wherever our mouse happens to be? Is our indexing working? And then on our draw commands, are they able to render themselves? Will we actually be able to see it? So can we reset them onto the stage? And then when they render themselves, will we at least see white particles? We've typed a lot and we haven't even tested yet. So let's run this and see what happens. Okay, we get an error. Oh, misspelled ellipse. There we go. Let's reset this. Okay, so we seem to be a little bit off over here. I'm moving my mouse, but it's keeping everything really constrained on that upper left-hand corner. I'm going to have to go back and double-check my math. What I'm going to assume as I'm troubleshooting is that I'm not adding it to their positions because I started off at 0, 0. I think I might just be setting it equal to. So let's go ahead and fix that. That would be over here. As I'm moving my mouse, sure enough, right here. The easing algorithm, I wasn't doing it myself. You're always supposed to add to where you are. Where you want to be minus where you are, where you want to be minus where you are times a percentage. It always has to be added to where you currently are. Remember, these are the steps. We're calculating the steps. Here's the total distance away from where you want to be. Make it just a partial step. But if you're going to do a partial step here, you need to add it to where you currently are. Okay, let's reset this. Okay, so now as I'm moving my pointer, it's easing. Now what's happening here is you're actually seeing that pointer index as at work. As I draw more than 100 particles, it's pulling from the back of the line to populate up to the front of the line. This way we only have 100 particles at any given time. Now if I wanted to make this a little bit longer, I could change total particles up to 200 or 300 or whatever I want. But right now we'll kind of prove the point by keeping it at 100. Now let's start adding some style to this. First thing we can do is start tweaking those color values based on where they are on the stage. So let's go back and do that. We saw how to do this on one of our earlier exercises. And this was the particle itself when it's getting reset on the stage. So here in reset, we've given it life. We've given it a life count, which we haven't used yet, but we haven't tweaked its own unique values. So we're going to do that here. If you recall, there's this very powerful function called map that basically says, take this value, you know, whatever my x happens to be, map it between 0 and width, and then turn that into a range from 0 to 255. 255 is our color range that we want. And we do the same thing with blue. Figure out where I am in my y position between 0 and height, and then map it to 0 and 255. Very powerful for quickly converting position to an acceptable color range, the map function. We won't tweak the R for right now. And we'll also make sure that we've reset their alpha back up to 255, because we'll be tweaking alpha in a little bit. If we test this out, at least the particles now should be getting a little more colorful. Sure enough, they're red. As I move over here, we see the color values tweak. As we move down here, everything is at 255 because it's maximum Y, and we come along to a more solid magenta. Back up to a solid red. Good, so our color shifting is happening. That's nice. Okay. Now let's go in and add a little bit more secondary animation. We've been resetting their velocity, but we haven't been taking advantage of anything. We don't want to fire them off right away. Well, you can. That'll basically be a particle effect. Let's look at some variations we can do here. We've been calling update on every particle, but we haven't really been updating anything. So let's start tweaking on this update. The first thing we want to do is we're only going to update them if they have an acceptable lifespan. So we're saying if your life is greater than zero, you know, if you have some life left in you, Well, the first thing you have to do is, since you're getting a tick, drop one down in your life. So every particle is going to be able to have its moment on the stage for at least 150 ticks. If you have any life left in you, you're going to render yourself, but you're also going, it's going to cost you one tick of life. We're going to say this.x, let's do what we've been used to. We're going to add velocity to our current positions. We're then going to add a little bit of a Brownian motion, as we saw before. And so that it's so that we restrain it a little bit. We're adding chaos, and then we're restraining it by 0.9. Okay. And then finally, their alpha is going to be equal to So let's look at this last line of code. Now, this isn't our finished effect, but at least we're going to be able to see what's going on. Saying, if you have any life left in you, start doing this. First, your life is going to drop by one. So you started off, you're born when you're reset at 150. So you're going to drop down to 149. You're going to add your x and y speeds, your velocity x and your velocity y, to your current position. So you're going to move however your velocity has been set. But then we're going to add a little bit of noise to your velocity so that you're not going to shoot off in a straight line. You're going to wiggle a little bit. So that's adding chaos. And then we're adding down a little bit of restraint by clamping it back down to 0.9. So it won't just be completely chaotic. It'll add a little bit more of an organic motion to it. And then we're going to say slowly start fading out. Your alpha, which was reset at 255, now make it 255 times whatever percentage of life you have left. So the very first time they draw it, if they're at 150, it's going to be, you know, this works out to 1, so it'll be at 255. By the time their life drops down to almost 0, this will also be dropping down to 0. If I run this right now, we're going to see that as I draw, I'm creating this kind of fuzzy particle-y type thing. Now, if this is an effect you want to do, it's kind of leaving fireflies around. If you want it to be particles, straight particles, you wouldn't add that extra randomness to the velocity. In fact, let's show that. If I came over here, just so we could see it in practice, our velocities had been constant, right? We added the kind of wiggly motion right here. If I comment that out and I reset it, this becomes much more of like a physics-based particles. As I'm drawing it, they're just kind of shooting off. There's more fireworks if you're doing those types of things. Simple physics. Every particle is traveling at a constant velocity. If we wanted the wiggle effect, though, we would randomize their velocity and slowly ease it back down. And that's what gives us kind of more of this wiggly effect. And you see that they're fading out because their alphas are dropping to 0. The reason we're doing this is because the ones that are most transparent, as their life fades down, we're hoping that by the time their line is back, I draw them on the stage, they're going to fly out and fade out. And then once I'm finished with all 100 and it comes back to them, I'm able to reset them again on the stage where it needs to be. So we're able to do this constantly, and we're not accruing any additional overhead on the CPU because we're only dealing with the same 100 particles again and again and again. We're just reusing them in this kind of recycling code function so that we get to add a lot of particles, or visually looks like we're adding a lot of particles, and we're just using the same particles again and again. Now, this in itself, if this is the effect you want, then it's fine. If you wanted linear, take the random out, and it's also fine. But I kind of doing a little bit of a hybrid, one thing I like to show. So let's actually make this so you can draw it, and then after a little bit of time, then they start fading out. And that will only be one more tweak. We've been using this life property. But before we add, this is where all the motion was coming in. Before we do that, let's basically say if your life is less than 50. And all this gets moved in one more. Now try and visualize in your head what's going to happen here. They started off at 150 ticks of life. So whenever I place them on the stage, we saw what happened when we didn't have an update function. They just stayed there. So as I draw them on the stage, they're just going to sit there for 100 ticks of life. And it's not till they get lower than 50 will they then start bursting out and moving around. Now, because it's less than 50 here, I want them to not be fading out while they're sitting there. I still want them to be nice and bright. So I would drop this down to 50 as well. When my life was 150 and we weren't doing any additional checks, it made sense that this was 150. But since I don't want them to be animated again until their last 50 cycles of life, I want them to stay at full alpha until they start fading out at 50. So starting at 50 now is where it's still at full alpha, and then from 50 to 0, our alpha will fade from 255 down to 0. Now at this point, if I run it, we should have the finished particle emitter. And sure enough, we can see, as I move around, the particles go. Kind of keep up to where they are. So here we are, a simple emitter. The difference is that this is using a single mouse or a single touch point. We're going to be looking at multiple touch points in a coming up article, but for right now we've hopefully covered up everything we've covered today. We've covered working with colors, animation loops, physics, basic physics, particles, Brownian motion, alpha transparency, and just a whole slew of other things. So hope you're enjoying the lessons. Our next ones, we're going to start getting into some basic trigonometry so we can look at mouse direction as well as rotations and drawing circles. So stick around for that. Thank you.